Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Hey, it's Danny Pellegrino from Everything Iconic. Ready to upgrade your style game without blowing your budget? Check out Quince. They've got all the good stuff, shirts and polos, activewear and fine leather goods, all at 50 to 80% less than other high-end brands. And the best part? They're all about safe, ethical and responsible manufacturing. Get that luxury vibe without the luxury price tag. Hit up quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. That's quince.com/upgrade.
Your friendly neighborhood Restar is here. How may I be of service?
Ugh. What was that?
Ugh. Was that the closest to a trailer you could get?
Closest I could find. Hey everybody, welcome back to Play Retro, where we talk about old-ass video games, and I'm one of your co-hosts, Scott Johnson. My arms are very long, and I can grab stuff from a very long distance. This is my superpower, and I defy you to defy me. Also, I am a star, so shut it!
Oh, you got a lot of attitude. You must be the American version of Rystar. And I'm your other host, Brian Dunaway. And while platforming my way into the people's hearts and prayers of a galaxy far away, I grabbed a handful of angry squid with my long rubbery arms and headbutted said squishy squid for blocking my way. Now my star face smells like squid butt, and I am no closer to finding my star paw. Have you seen my star paw?
I haven't seen your star paw.
Papa, where are you?
You might have said where are you?
Unless you're in Japan, in which case it's your ma.
That's your ma. Oh, really? They switched it up?
Yeah.
Oh, I didn't know that. I didn't play the Japanese version. I played the American version this week, and or the European American version, and it's
You weren't missing anything.
It's really good. That game is good.
It's all right.
Yeah, it's pretty good. We'll talk about it. Rystar.
Boy, and I'll tell you, just the fact that you could not find a trailer for Rystar goes to show you how there was $0 spent on marketing for this thing.
Zero. There were no commercials. There were nothing. No promos. No like, hey, we're here at E3 in 1995, and here's our short video. None of that.
Nothing.
This game was poorly marketed and therefore performed very poorly, which was a self-fulfilling prophecy for Sega, I'm afraid.
It's like, that's what happens.
It's unfortunate, though, because it's one of my favorite lesser-known Sega titles, and we're going to get all into it today. But before we do, I'm getting hyped, because in 2 weeks, well, 11 days, I will be in Las Vegas, and on the Wednesday of that week, Wednesday of that week, we're doing our annual Classic Arcade Tournament, which at this cool bar in Las Vegas, which is awesome. It's like a barcade. It's like a $2.50 to get into the damn thing. It's like nothing. And then the games are all free. You just play whatever you want. They're all cranked.
Play what you want.
They all have the dip switch is turned up, so everything's on hard, which sucks. But last year, I came in very close second place.
And, I was about to say, last year, if you weren't listening last year around this time, Scott came in second place, barely losing out to Monkey Banana's brother, right?
Yeah, this guy who'd never heard our show, had never been to any of our events, shows up at the thing, rocks me in the final round.
You beginner luck. What was it at Joust, I think?
No, Joust I won at. It was, what did we played a fighting game, I'm trying to remember what it was, King of Fighters something?
Okay. Oh, well, no wonder. You're not a King of Fighter. You're more of a Joust fella.
Yeah, and I won the Joust game. I beat
Zoe?
Ms. Pac-Man. I beat Zoe. Well, Zoe technically beat me before the thing started. But that was just me testing stuff, right?
Oh, that's funny. That is hilarious.
So she didn't move on because of it. However, this year, I'm going to get revenge and take it all back, all right? That's what's going to happen. So watch
right,
for that.
Right, right.
We'll let you guys know how it goes after that week.
I'm excited about that. How much of that's going to be live? I think several of the community members are going to be doing some stuff live.
Monkey Bananas ties a bunch of GoPros to himself and streams almost everything. So my guess is his channel, and then we'll probably do some co-streaming or something. I don't know how we're going to do it, but you'll see it.
Excellent.
As we do it. Brian, what have you been up to this week? Anything cool? You saw the Mario movie. You saw the Mario. Woohoo!
Yeah, we talked a little bit about it pre-show, but here's a little bit more. The Super Mario Brothers movie. I went and saw it by myself. I had no choice. I was chilling. Let's just face it. I'll go ahead and admit it. I took a Monday, and I was supposed to go on a trip, and then everything fell through, and everybody left, and it was just me on a Monday. And I was like, "What am I going to do with myself? I don't want to sit at home. No. I've already done that.
You do that all the time.
What am I going to do?" So I treated myself to some chilies. I got some salmon. Wherever you live at, you got the L in there. Maybe you don't. Yeah. But then I was just thinking, I was like, what do I want to do now? And I was like, oh, I wonder if that Super Mario movie is out. And sure enough, it was. And I had 15 minutes to get to the 3D one. And I was like, do I want to see it in 3D or do I want an hour and see it in 2D? I'm like, I'm going to go see it in 3D. And so that's exactly what I did. And when I got those poo glasses.
Yep, poo glasses.
I got the poo glasses because that's what they're mostly made of is fecal matter.
People's previous fecal matter. Yep, absolutely.
Right. And I didn't wear my contacts that day. Lots of times when I go see 3D movies, I'll wear my contacts when I have to do that. I doubled up. Gross. I had the four eyes.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah. That's a lot of frame, so right? Do you feel like you have too much frame in all your peripheral vision when you do that? Like just down. Can't see anything.
No, because I sit in an optimal spot. Luckily, we have our theater has the reclining chairs with the little power reclining chairs.
I do like those.
And I can choose it beforehand. I'm like, where am I going to sit at? I'm not sitting next to a bunch of people over here. I wish it would show the ages on there so I could go, but they didn't. So I picked a seat. First one I picked, they said, no, you can't do that. I'm like, why not? It's like, you're blocking other people. And I'm like, okay, fine. So because I was only one person.
Wait, there's they told you that? Oh, I see. When you were getting the tickets and looking at the layout. I get it. Okay.
Yeah. And so I set like a seat over from somebody. So, but it was all good. Got there, got my little popcorn.
Yeah.
We have what's called a movie meal deal now. It used to be called a kid's meal, but it's basically just a handful of popcorn in a box. You got your soda pop and you got your little gummy things. And I ate that before the movie even started.
And it was only, what, 28 bucks, 30 bucks for that?
Well, it was only $6, and I already went to see Dungeons and Dragons the week before, and Fandango kept bugging me almost every day, going, "Hey, you got a $5 coupon? You want to use a $5 coupon? Hey, you got a $5 coupon right over here?" And I'm like, "Okay, I'll do it." So by the time I got out of there by myself, man, I got out of there for like it wasn't even like $12 or something.
Jeez, that's pretty good.
I was like, yeah,
that's not bad.
Treat yourself, but let me tell you right now, the Super Mario Brothers movie, I liked it.
Yeah.
If you like Illumination, that's what this is, Illumination film. If you like those Minions and Despicable Me and those kind of movies, you're probably going to like this. Is done huge. The Super Mario Brothers is obviously they're going to have a follow-up. I mean, it has to be.
They
have to.
Look how much money they made. Their opening weekend, $369 million opening weekend.
Crazy. We're about to see some sweet. And we talked a little bit about in the pre-show. We're about to see some really good movies. Based on properties like this, because the Sonic movie did very well.
Sonic did
this
well.
Movie
this is killing.
Blew it.
It
out.
Yeah,
right.
The Last of Us on TV, massive both critical and financial success and viewer success. Yes. Like we are heading down a new path of video game adaptations. I think
superhero movies are gone. Here come the video game movies.
Are gone. I don't know if they're gone, but yeah, I'm kind of tired of them. A little worn out on them. So
right. You know. So when do you think Disney will buy Nintendo's Mario? When do you think that'll happen?
I mean, Nintendo's always been sort of thought of as they're the Disney of video games.
Yeah.
And I think there's real truth to that. I don't think they're in any rush to buy. I don't think Nintendo's in any rush to ever sell themselves to anyone. They're not interested.
Well, I don't know. I mean, I think whatever Marvel went with. Whatever their deal is, I've never looked deep into it. But
well, Marvel was in trouble when they got bought. They were not. Marvel was in the shitter.
Yeah, they were a little bit of trouble there, right?
Yeah,
but
they were.
I still think they have. They their comic books don't say Disney on them, right? They're still Marvel comics.
And yeah, but they're a subsidiary of Disney. I mean, they own them.
Yeah.
So you could do that. Sure, it's not like Nintendo hasn't been offered before to be bought, especially during downtimes like during the Wii U era or when they were. The tail end of the Wii was a little bit rough for them and stuff like that. The GameCube wasn't the success the previous console had been. And for that matter, the N64 wasn't either. So there have been times where I think they were on the chopping block and Nintendo never went for it. I think they see themselves as their own masters and have zero interest in and being bought. So I do not see that happening at all. But
so you're ready for Sony Animation to finally go, okay, here comes the wars again.
I mean, look,
we've already seen Nintendo make a lot of money in Sega. Well, we want to get into this biz too. Who's coming? We got some Crash Bandicoot, whatever.
Crash Bandicoot, God of War. Well, Crash Bandicoot's multi-system now. I don't think you can count it. It has to be something exclusive to Sony, like God of War or Last of Us.
God of War would be awesome, but I see it as a TV series. I'd watch that.
I want to see full CG. I think I want to see that.
Yeah.
Like the game world is a little bit, I want it to be a little fantastical and not too too realistic, if you know what I'm saying.
I think if you're going to play safe, you're going to have to go with the kid stuff, because we already approved Sonic, which is kind of kiddish, but not too much. So it's got weird attitude, just like the Sonic did in the video games. And then Mario is very, very polished. Mm-hmm. Just like you would expect. So I don't know what's.
Yeah, and everybody of every generation has played a Mario game at this point, right? Everybody.
Oh yeah.
My grandma played Donkey Kong, which is really his first game, and she loved it, and she played the hell out of it. So
you just know Donkey Kong's gonna get a movie. You just know how Nintendo is. Once they find something that makes some money, every property.
I guarantee you, Donkey Kong gets a spinoff from this.
Yeah, Luigi's Mansion. If you don't do it, I'm not going to see any more movies.
Yeah, forget it. We're all done with Nintendo if you don't make a Luigi's Mansion. Chat room says Booger Man. Let's get that going.
Booger Man.
Yeah, like from the Genesis. Let's get some Sega games out there besides Sonic. Let's go Booger Man, Rystar. Why not? Let's do all the dumb fighter characters from their fighting game they tried to make that was supposed to compete with Street Fighter.
That was actually pretty good. The little Super Bowl commercials and stuff they did. I mean. Wasn't that a thing they did?
I don't remember that at all. Did they?
They did some commercials with a bunch of their characters. Maybe I'm just thinking of Wreck-It Ralph. I don't know.
Oh, I loved Wreck-It Ralph, too. And Wreck-It Ralph, obviously a Disney thing, but Wreck-It Ralph was fun in that it wasn't based on a real game, but it had real game stuff in it.
Right.
Including, I want to say Bowser was in the villain, group session therapy thing they showed. There was a scene, and I think Bowser was in that scene.
Interesting.
Which is a little bit, you know, that's a little crossover nobody saw coming. Nintendo probably won't do again now that they got all this money. I don't know. I'm curious to see what they do, but congratulations.
They may not do anything.
Yeah, they may do nothing. I don't know.
Yeah. Who knows? But I would go see Dead or Alive.
Yeah, I would too. Oh, they are making a new Street Fighter. I forgot to mention that. That's happening.
Oh, are they? Oh, well, see, that's a dead end. Don't do that.
Well,
we've already been down the Street Fighter. Unless you can totally flip that around. I wouldn't do that.
What if they did Fighter? Okay, hold on. What if they? Let me see if I can get the news about it so I don't get it wrong. Here it is. Street Fighter. No, I want movie, not six. Street Fighter 6 does look cool. All right. Here it is. New movie. 3 decades after the original attempt. Let's see if I can get some. Okay. Up Rocks has it. Okay. New live action theaters in the works. Co-produced by Legendary Entertainment and Capcom. More news to come. They don't say anything else. We don't know who it is.
Right.
We don't know what's what. There was a Chun-Li spinoff. That was crap. But maybe they'll get it right this time. I don't know.
Right. Is Spyro, that's an Insomniac game, and I know Sony published it, but I wonder if there's enough relationship there to.
Oh, did they? I didn't know that was Insomniac.
To push
is that
through.
Insomniac?
Time? Or we could also just go straight with the Medieval.
Uh-huh.
I'd go see that.
Oh, yeah, for sure. I'd see Medieval. Yeah. Oh, you're right. Insomniac did Spyro. I forgot. That'd be fun. That'd be a fun kids one, right?
Yeah.
Oh, there's lots
of ideas.
I think
that's what you have to do. I think you have to stick with something like that.
I think so, too. Well,
once again, I'll go back to the thing I said pre-show. I have no vision.
I just thought of it. Here's my vision.
Give it to me.
Super Smash Brothers is your next big Mario thing. Get everybody in there and even get the license to keep, like, Solid Snake is in Smash Brothers. So get him in there.
Now you're thinking like Marvel with the Avengers movie and then branching out. That's
big giant tournament, worldwide tournament. You got Kirby in there sucking the juice out of everybody. Oh, sign me up. This is a great idea. But you know what else is great?
Right.
Rystar.
Shall we play a game?
We certainly shall. Let me play a little bit of this intro and it'll give you a taste of what you can expect from at least the auditory experience that is Rystar. Some dastardly going on. And this whole bit at the beginning, it kind of tells a little story about what to expect. Then you got this. Listen to this weird bit. Let's see. right here? Yeah.
And if you're listening very closely, you're like, that kind of sounds familiar, but I never played RyStar because no one probably did back in the day. You might have played it on a collection, most likely. But Tomoko Sasaki did Nights Into Dreams, did this.
Oh, that's his music, is it? Oh,
yeah, that's her music. She's a composer, and she did the Nights Into Dreams. And this is the best you've probably ever heard the Sega Genesis sound.
I'm going to say that that is true. The audio work in general in RyStar, some call it RyStar. I know. I go back and forth.
There's a big online discussion about is it RyStar or is it RyStar, and how do you say it? I've seen a bunch of people say it a bunch of different ways.
Yeah.
And I prefer RyStar. And it seems like everybody I talk to seems to think the same way.
Well, the reason it's probably correct is because you're talking about a rising star, right? That's right. The idea. So RyStar, that makes more sense. It's kind of a dumb name, period. But
right.
Whatever.
RyStar is a youth, is what he is. If you're playing the English version, he is a youth called upon by the people of the faraway planets who have called him forth because his father, the hero, has been abducted by Greedy, the space pirate.
Yeah, what was his name going to be before it was something else, like Richard or?
He went through several. So RyStar has a long development history, and he's went from being originally is part of a. We'll get into a little bit of that later, but basically his name was going to be Phil, or Bolt, or and then there was Dexstar, and then there was RyStar.
Yeah,
Dexstar. I do want to talk about how it all got there, but those are the names.
Dexstar is terrible. That's a terrible.
Dexstar was like in the prototype. If you're looking for any of these and want to follow the development, which was a lot of fun and interesting to research, Dexstar was like a prototype that came out the previous fall before it was released in 95.
And when you played it and you actually got to see him for the first time, you heard this. The what I was playing before the stream today ad nauseum was that theme. I had it going for like an hour playing back to back, but it's a very jaunty good time, and I think Sega was looking for another Sonic level success. I think that's what they wanted here. Yeah. And they didn't get it, partially because they marketed this thing terribly.
Yeah, like, or none at all.
Not at all. No one knew about it. They didn't pay for any commercials. Yeah. They didn't do any kind of external or internal anything. It's just like, well, we made a game. It's actually kind of awesome, but I don't really want to pay for it.
Well, because all eyes were on Japan because they had just released the Sega Saturn. So this was really late in the life, and we were already just a few months away in the U.S. From getting the Sega Saturn. So this was like they're just like, we're not putting any money into this game, which was a mistake if you ask me, because I think it had enough momentum that they could have, they would have been better served to have collected this little bit of money.
Well, yeah, because nobody was rushing out to buy Saturns. People were still hanging on to their Genesis for a while, like you do, right? There's a reason Nintendo had some of that crossover. The N64 was out when they were putting out Donkey Kong Country 2 and 3.
Right.
And having success with it. There's no reason they couldn't have done that. It just annoys me to no end.
It does. And the reason why is because it's real easy to look back and go, oh, you know, we've seen the 3D come and go. But that, you know, everybody was in the first steps of 3D, and they were thinking this 2D platforming crap, even though it looks great and it's one of the best playing 2D platformers ever seen.
Yeah.
Everybody's done one, and we're looking for 3D, and no one's interested in another 3D platformer. But they would have been wrong.
Yep, and this game, while it featured a lot of speed, high-speed stuff that you might expect from, like, a Sonic game, the thing that it had that I really respected or liked was a more measured approach to the action, but when things needed to move, it would. Like, it was fast and crazy, but it wasn't constantly like, go, 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 roll, you know, you weren't like Sonic through this whole thing, which is good. It was a change of pace.
You could easily confuse this for Sonic, because it was built on the Sonic 1 engine. The Sonic team did not develop this, even though sometimes people think they did, because it looks just like Sonic game, because you got those big obnoxious fonts with the those totally mid-90s graphics and stuff. And but it's not. It's its own thing. And you're right. It takes its time and allows you to think about things before you execute them, because really you've only got two moves here with Rystar, and that's jump or grab. But don't forget, this game does something, and I forgot myself, because I was like, yeah, it's just jump and grab. This is just stupid. But then I realized, oh, you got to do that in eight directions. So you're busy.
Yeah, you got a lot going on. Turns out you're not left with nothing to do ever.
No, and, no.
I know you like it because the arms aren't detached from his body. They are actually big rubbery arms.
God.
Yep. I know you're a fan.
I can deal with flexi, but you know, you got to be attached to something. I mean, even his face, they could just have his face. He's got a star face. You know, and it's like it's got over top of like some kind of stocking or something. You know what I mean? Because like his body's like round in the background, it's black. Yep. You don't really notice it too much, but it's there. It's like a weird mime thing. I don't know.
It's pretty. But, it's an odd design, but I really like it.
It's attractive. Fan. Yeah, is what it is.
And the boss fights are creative. We're watching one now, where he's fighting a hammerhead shark.
Oh, I hated that hammerhead shark. He was such. I think that's one of the first. Is that first or second? Was at the end of the water world. You go through, I think,
eight. Yeah, the water world's worlds? A little annoying, if I'm going to be honest. I love that.
Yeah.
But isn't that the truth? You can't talk about water worlds without people going, unless you're talking about the movie Water World. But if your world is, if your game is set with water levels, no one talks happily about that crap.
I hate fish in platformers. Yeah, you don't hated it since Mario, and I hate it. I continue to hate it. It's kind of like bats in Castlevania. Mm-hmm. Something about it just doesn't work, because you know those bats come down at a 45 degree angle, they come really fast, and it's like I can't get you. The fish, they jump out of the water suddenly, and that is one thing I will say about Rystar that kind of annoys me a little bit. There's not a lot of field of vision, and you can't look down really, or look to the side or anything like that. Wherever you're seeing on the screen is what you see. 4x3 screen. Oh my God, I can jump down there. I'm watching this thing right now. I didn't realize you could jump down
there. Yeah, I watched you struggle with that for about an hour. I watched you.
God, why didn't anybody say anything?
I don't know.
I tell people all the time, backseat driving's allowed.
Yeah.
But,
That's all. I watched you fart around with that model thing. I watched you. That was a nightmare watching you do that.
Yeah. And Rystar, in addition to grabbing things with your little star character, you also have to manipulate things in the environment to forward progression. Mm-hmm. And most of it's pretty self-explanatory, but every once in a while I'd run across something. I'm like, I don't get it. Why? What am I supposed to do with this little statuette thing? Mm-hmm. And you're supposed to toss it so it'll trip a trap. And you can jump down there too to turn those little fire things off. Son of a butthole. I knew I should have looked down.
These are all, look, that was the cool other cool thing about Rystar, is it was not conventional side scrolling. You were encouraged to go, oh, wait a minute, I can go in here and go inside of this. I can, you know.
How is this guy doing these things he's doing? I'm watching right now. He's grabbing on this condor that I spent at least a good 30 minutes on over the weekend trying to grab him.
Yeah.
Like
you,
I said,
you were struggling with this bit. I don't think I got this far. I didn't get this far in the game, so you played more than me.
This is one of those times I should have watched a playthrough, because I'm like, I'm watching this guy, and this guy's making it look super simple, and I made every mistake in the book, man. Such a rookie.
I don't think this is his first time to the party is the thing.
It can be, but this game is peak platforming on the 16-bit, because it took they took every platformer that they could get their hands on. Mm-hmm. That would be Nishino, I think his name is. Akira Nishino. He was the game designer. This is the first game he had done. He had worked on the Sonic CD stuff as a game designer, but then a game planner on Rystar. So he was the lead guy. Yeah. And there's a bunch of great interviews. You can catch them on YouTube. The best interviews, though, are the ones that were on some of the Sega collections on the PS2. The PS2 had all these great freaking, multi-game on a CD that would, you know, give you all kinds of background and developer stories. Yeah. It's so freaking awesome to see that stuff. And I really enjoyed, you know, listening to him break everything down and how they got there with this Rystar game. And it is peak. You probably like me, I never played it on the original Genesis, even though I had one.
Yeah, this is where you played it.
But I played it on a collection. I've played it before, but I played it on like a Sega collection. I can't remember exactly where I got it from. Might have been on Steam or something. And I was like, what is this RyStar crap? And I'm like, oh, this is pretty good.
Yeah, the one I'm looking at here, you put in here from the Sonic Mega Collection on the GameCube 2002.
Yes.
And this was a bit of, well, it's still, you know, kind of treated like an afterthought. It's just sort of barely on this collection. But
yeah, and it's actually, and you're showing some footage of it now. This one didn't have all the, this is GameCube, so it's got those smaller discs, not as much data storage like you'd have on the PS2. But it was good because it was unlockable. So you had most of the Sonic games on this GameCube collection, but then you had some unlockable games like RyStar, which makes sense because you should be able to fit on there pretty good considering that it uses the Sonic engine. You could probably, I don't know if they combine some of the files or whatnot, but it just makes sense. Plus, since they made their own emulation, made their own emulator in this thing, and so it's emulating perfectly. Because
like
they've already done it for the other games.
Yeah, so they'd already done the whole thing.
No brainer. Stick it right in there.
Stick it in your I remember. So I had the Genesis game. I remember thinking it was awesome, and I remember trying to tell people that were also, you know, gaming at the same time. Mm-hmm. Like, dude, you have to get this. You got to get this game. And nobody believed me. Nobody was listening to me.
Nobody believed me. It was a tough sell.
Yeah.
You know, this is. It's so weird at the end of generations. We talk about this from time to time. It's like, oh, what was like one of the last games developed? Some of the best things are developed at the end of a console's lifespan when we're stopped kind of buying stuff because we're looking for the next thing. The next thing is we've already been teased with the next thing. I mean, when they'll release a end of life game for another console and everything's been perfected. You know, the programmers have found ways to, you know, to tweak out everything on the system. And it's some of the best games that come out of those generations. And lots of times you don't realize it until years later when you're going back and visiting them.
That's just right. Like RyStar. Which is what we do right here on this show. Exactly.
RyStar has a really interesting history because it started out as, have you ever seen anything about how Sonic was developed? Mm. They wanted to find something that Sega did, wanted to find something that could compete with Mario.
Mm.
Yeah. Right, they wanted that mascot, so they kind of they put a call out to their Sega employees and said, "Hey, throw something at us."
Was it?
And
didn't so we? They this did. In that documentary we talked about recently, right?
I think we've talked about it a little bit before.
Yeah,
and I dug a little deeper this time as well. Mm-hmm. And you know, some of the people, I think there was finally one of the ones I was really interested in was going to be a rabbit,
right.
And he kind of looks like you could see where that was going because they're like, oh, they're trying to recreate the magic of Walt Disney's Oswald Rabbit,
right?
Even the illustration design work kind of looks like that.
100%.
And the gimmick was going to be that it was going to use his bunny ears to jump around, kind of like what RyStar does.
Oh, look at that.
Yeah, but so they kind of backed out of that a little bit when they started refining characters, and they decided that they wanted to do something a little more action-packed, and they kind of went in a different design direction with Sonic, but they kept this kind of in RyStar a little bit. RyStar started out as, I read so much stuff this past week. This is a fascinating dive. If you never did a big old deep dive, look for some documentaries on YouTube. Look up these videos that I've told you about. We'll try to get some links too. Right. But I don't know where I was going. I started thinking about the documentaries and I totally forgot what I was talking about.
Well, your point.
What do you think about that?
Well, your point being an incredible history of how shit got made for Sega in the waning days of the Genesis is always interesting. I can tell you that much. It's because they were like a little bit desperate. You know, they were like, oh, you know what the next wave's going to be? It's going to be more 2D.
Wait, are you gaming on a Chromebook?
Yep. It's got a high-res 120Hz display, plus this killer RGB keyboard, and I can access thousands of games anytime, anywhere.
Stop playing.
What?
Get out of here.
Huh?
Yeah, I want you to stop playing and get out of here so I can game on that Chromebook.
Got it.
Discover the ultimate cloud gaming machine, a new kind of Chromebook.
Yeah. And then they made a console that did all really great 2D, but nobody cared because PlayStation's like, hey, what about 3D? And Nintendo's like, yeah, we think so too. And poor Sega's over there going, well, look at these sprites, though. They're real good.
This was This was the height of the infighting between Sega of America and Sega of Japan during this kind of time. And they were just, you know, they were fighting themselves instead of the common enemy. And they were, and of course, I guess the higher ups were probably pushing really hard because we got all, this is when we started getting all the, you know, Sega CD attachments and the 32X. And, you know, they're trying to push the new 3D technology and not focusing on Sonic for whatever godforsaken reason.
Yep.
some 3D Sonic. I don't know what the hell they were thinking, but they, you know, they didn't pull that out.
Nope.
And go ahead.
No, I was just going to say, you're absolutely right. And they don't, I feel like they've never quite recovered. Like, Sega's still, Sega's a big publisher now. They have all kinds of cool stuff on the PC side, on consoles. Like, Sega's got shit going on.
Oh, yeah.
Nobody's, no, you know, go look at what they're actually doing. It's easy to just think of the name and go, hey, like the Genesis. Hey. But if you actually go look at what Sega is today in a modern sense, they're a big mega publisher and they're doing just great.
Yeah. Try not to find a copy of Rystar anywhere.
Yeah.
It's practically almost like Doom, the big old Doom joke about it. It's on everything. It's on your Samsung refrigerator. I'm telling you, it's 99 cents on the freaking phone, the iOS, the Android. You got your Steam stuff. You got it's on every freaking thing you can think of. But it's Rystar. But I plopped down my 99 cents on the iOS and as well as the, I think, $1.99 on Steam.
This might sound strange, but if somebody would go back and take all these old platformers and turn them all into procedurally generated endless runners, hear me out. It sounds bad at first.
Okay. All right. I'm hating it. Go ahead.
But let me just have Rystar rather.
Right.
Just running left to right, avoiding obstacles, using his arms when he has to. I would play that game.
He's such an adorable character, even though it was westernized. It was turned into they made Rystar look different than they did in Japan. Japan has a very cute expressions for Rystar. Ours have attitude, just as everything we got. So we've got a star that has attitude. He was originally going to be called Volt as well. Did I mention that earlier?
I think you did. Volt.
One of the designs.
Volt or Volt?
Was right. He was gonna have like electrical powers too, I believe, of some sort, because he had like he almost looked like, you know how Wolverine's cow things looks, you know, has little pointy things. It's kind of, he kind of looked like that. He had like a big V on his face. So instead of a star, he had like a V. And I think actually in the game, I think like the last bits of code, I think they said, is like caution, Rystar is not Volt. So apparently they must have had to remind everybody. It's like, hey.
Yeah, don't get it confused.
We've moved on.
Real quick, I put a graphic up of the default standing graphic in Europe and Japan. He's all smiley on the right here. The American one, look at him. He's like,
meh. I'm mad about everything. I'm a star and I'm angry.
That's right. I got a 90s ass attitude and I'm going to come get you with it.
I don't know why. I mean, there was a bit of attitude in the popular culture in America during 95. That was a true thing. But I don't think we're so stupid that we couldn't handle it. I don't think anybody would go, I don't want that childish kid stuff. It has to be, you know, teenagery angst where I'm out.
Yeah, I don't think so. I don't know. I was in my, early 20s when this came out.
Right.
And I was into it. But I feel like there were a lot of people that were just sort of like, is it too cute to play? Like it's for kids or something. And I think they're wrong to think that, but maybe that was the thinking. Make him grumpy in the US version. We don't have to change too much to do that. That way we're not going to be labeled as, you know, a kiddie game.
Right.
Even though it really isn't. Never was. People see this cute star going, hey, I'm Rystar. Weird. Like, I could see why they'd think
that. Star, I like to grab things and headbutt them. Yeah. That's his power. He likes to headbutt everything along the way.
That's his whole thing. He loves it. I don't know why, but whatever.
Yeah. Don't look directly into the plot. You'll go blind because there is none. It's just emptiness. I don't understand why he's a black hole on the backside and he's a star on the front side, but whatever, who am I to judge?
Oh, go ahead.
I love the greedy pirate. I don't know what the opening animation is supposed to be all about.
Yeah.
But it's just so weird because you got like this ghost thing, and I guess he's supposed to be Greedy the Pirate, which mm-hmm. is a weird name to have.
It's weird, right? Greedy the Pirate?
Yeah.
He's going, I'm Greedy the Pirate. Here I am going to say something. Here he goes. That's how pirates talk in the the Rystar world. Beep, beep, beep,
beep. Breaking news.
Yep. Robots. There are some. They did know marketing, but they did do some stuff in magazines.
They actually featured Rystar at like one of the last Sega Genesis magazines before they really started focusing on. But by that point in time, it had been out for a couple of months already, and I think it was purely on the magazines part to feed their fan base, which they knew was probably not long for this world. It's like, okay, who's going to be subscribing to the Genesis magazine for much longer?
Yeah.
Nobody.
No, I could see why they said that. I think they were wrong to discount it, but I get it, right?
Like, right. Makes sense. And it's sad, too, because we've changed a lot, and I think in part, if not in whole, because of Sony. Because Sony, they never just abandon their consoles. They just keep putting crap out. Nintendo kind of does the same thing, but they just mostly do it in Japan.
Yeah.
They don't do it too terribly much in outside markets. But Sony just everywhere. No. Just like, oh, you got another game. We got another game for the PS2.
Do you remember how long?
We already got the PS3. Yeah.
Remember how long that PS2 line lasted? I mean, that was forever into the life of the PS3, which probably was good for Sony because PS3 launched in a struggled state, but evened out later on. But yeah, that was the PS2 era, especially. It was just like, we're going to keep making them. You can buy this here Slim Edition, and you can play.
We're going to keep on making games
for your Slim Edition of the PS2.
We know you can't afford no new system. I never understood that. It's like you're going to buy a $60 game for a system that's out of. Okay.
Yep, sure.
The console's not that much more.
No.
Move for, but, people like things. They like what they got.
Well, check this out. You could also play it on the run. That music sounds familiar. It's because it is. It's a version of the game that came out on the Game Gear, and it was advertised at the exact same time.
Yeah, it came out exact same time, I believe. I couldn't find any hard data, but everything I saw looks like it came out. They released it exact same time. Different developer.
Different dev. It feels more like a port. Yeah. I played a little bit of it. It didn't feel as good. It's okay.
Right.
But it's not quite the same.
It's not the same, but there is a collecting component to it, which I kind of like. You can find stars as you're playing Rystar throughout the world you're going through. I think it's like 8 worlds or something. But in this one, you collect stars along the way, like kind of like almost like coins, like you would in a Mario game.
Right.
And you also can grab items from, enemies and use them in the environment to kind of move forward. So some of this is kind of interesting. But once again, most of it is just like the, now one thing I didn't notice before until just now when you got on the really fast spinny thing.
Yeah.
There's at the end of each level when you go from one area to the next area, there's typically like this little winding bar that you grab a hold of and you spin around really fast and you shoot off like a star. And it looks like Sonic does when he shoots off.
Yeah, but it also reminds me, like Nintendo does it with their flagpole with Mario.
Yes,
it's like one of those things. Yeah.
But I didn't notice Rystar's arms as dashes. Why are they dashes on the Game Gear version?
They're segmented, and I'm guessing it's
I don't like that at all.
No, I know, but I'll bet it's a hardware limitation thing where they had to too much sprite on screen or something.
Let's cut his arms up on screen. They could have cut some of that grass in the background. That could have been better off.
I agree. But, it's a bit much, isn't it?
Right. But the bosses are pretty fun in this game. I mean, you would think, is all I can do is jump and grab? That sounds crazy. That's not going to be fun. But like I said, once you realize that you got to grab in 8 different directions to grab things, and you have to grab things at certain points, and you have to do some timing, you have to do some thinking, you have to do some feeling, which is what this game was originally, the concept for this game, Rystar, was all about. It's about exploration. The character was supposed to be, youthful, like a kid, and was supposed to explore the environment and touch everything like a child.
Yeah, Like kids do.
Yeah.
They like to touch everything.
Like kids do.
You also wanted to make a mention here, at least a mention of Dynamite Heady, which I also played recently, not for this episode, but just because I was, you know, rummaging through old ROMs and looking at stuff. This is the one I respect people's respect of it.
The character design is the, oh my God.
It's bad.
It's so ugly. I don't like to judge people's things, but oh my God, the character design, that's seeing Rystar all week, just being the most adorable, cutest little freaking awesome thing. Mm-hmm. Then playing Heady, which has some great artwork in it and some very colorful, but the character design is just
goofball. It actually reminds me of Rayman, which I know you don't love because of the way those characters are designed. And it's not my favorite design.
Like, is he an ant? What is he supposed to be? He could take his head off. I know that, right? He's supposed to be able to throw his. That's the gimmick,
right? Can ants do that? Can ants take their head off and just fiddle with it and then put it back?
Now I'm looking at it now. I'm thinking maybe it's a guy was holding a head. Yeah. I guess that's the gimmick.
Yeah. I can tell you this, though. We're not going to do an entire dedicated episode on Dynamite Heady, okay? But it's worth mentioning because this was, again, another attempt to steal some of that Mario Thunder. This one a little less successful, I think.
Some people say this often comes up in discussion. Which is your favorite 16-bit platformer? And sometimes they'll refer to Rystar versus Dynamite Heady. Apparently, the flavor tastes really good to some people.
It's not my flavor either. I find him annoying. This character, although different heads doing different functions, is kind of fun.
It's cool gimmick, but both of these games are gimmick games, right? They find a way to not just be gimmicky. They find a way to make it fun.
I just wish it looked less stupid.
Like I said, you're listening to two cartoon artists and we just kind of have this bias. I think of a certain style. That's just, you know.
Yeah, this is what the kids drew and scratched on their desk during detention. This is that kind of art, and I don't like it.
Pardon our snobbery, if you will. If Dynamite Heady is your thing, then go get your Heady.
Yeah, go get your Heady. Great. Go get some Heady. You're good. real quick, if you wanted to play this today, you can play it on a Sega Genesis Mini 2. That's currently, I want to say, they're even having a sale on Amazon right now. That may have ended. It's still that expensive shipping, though, on that thing. Bugs me. iOS, Steam, Android, Nintendo, PlayStation, Samsung, refrigerator, as Brian mentioned. We may be exaggerating on that last one, but it's all those other places. And, of course, you can find emulation. And I guess the Sonic prototype you were talking about is now floating around in ROM form. That might be interesting to check out.
Yes, you can find all these kind of prototypes on archive.org. There was a dump back in, 2005 or something?
Yeah.
Also, I found an amazing, if you go to archive.org and you look up Rystar and Street Fighter 2, they found a way to import the Rystar character and replace Max as one of the fighters, and it is hilarious.
Really?
I played it in the browser, and it was great because he's just swinging his big old fat arms and just knocking everything out.
I want to see this.
Let me see if I can find a link and I'll throw it in Discord for you. But it was pretty good.
Yeah, I'd like to see that. That's insane. Archive.org, continually preserving video games so you don't have to, everyone. All right. Well, that's about it for Rystar.
You will say it for some people, Rystar.
Now both sound wrong to me. I don't know why. My brain won't work on it. But we're going to play Guess Our Game.
Destroy it.
This is where we play some audio from an old game. We try to stump each other as to what it is. We each have three questions each we can ask before we either win or lose. And I'm going to start with mine. Here are your initial hints. 1993, Sega Genesis, and a sequel in a popular series.
Oh.
Okay. That may help you. I don't know. But here it is.
That sounded familiar for just a second.
Did it? Yeah, this is where we get to the gameplay.
Oh, Jesus. I'm going to put a Sonic chip on my head. Or a Sega chip on my head, excuse me.
Yeah, it is a Sega Sonic chip. Here we go.
Speaking of which, here are my three questions, right?
Yep, give me a question.
It isn't part of the Sonic series?
No.
Not part of Sonic. Okay.
Hear that sound?
Oh, wait. What is that? That sounded familiar. Shit, what is that?
There's a whole lot of that. Any guesses?
Fighters?
Narrow your question. What do you mean by fighters? You mean
are they shirtless fighters?
No.
Like punching fisticuffs. Okay.
Definitely not. That's your second question.
Okay, then they must be like some kind of commandos. Are they commandos of some sort?
I'll give you a hint on top of that and say
all right.
No, but he is more of a spy. Your character is like a spy, but you fight dudes that look like commandos.
Interesting. Okay,
and again,
spy
third. It's important to remember there's a third in a series of a notable title. You'll know the name when I tell you. Here's a little bit of the end when you die. That's me dying, by the way. I had a rough one trying to play this thing. Okay, you have a third. No, was that your third question? You still have a third.
I think I got all the questions.
Yeah, I think you got all your questions. All
right, you're a spy. Is sequel in a popular series, 1993 Genesis.
Yeah.
God, all I could think of was like freaking Rolling Thunder, but I know that's not right. Because there's no part three in Rolling Thunder.
I ain't telling you till you know or till you guess.
Oh, I know. I'm just trying to think. The answer is Commando 3.
Let's find out. Is that correct? Is it Commando 3? Wait. Commando 3? No, it's not. You had it and you ran over it. It's Rolling Thunder 3.
Is it Rolling Thunder? Dadgummit.
It's Rolling Thunder,
Rolling Thunder 3.
3, and it's great. It's very fun. Hard, though. But it's very fun. It's still got the doors you go in to get more ammo and junk like that, like the original.
Oh, I never played this one. I didn't even know this was a thing, but I definitely knew it sounded like a Rolling Thunder.
Man, you had
I've never seen 3.
I thought my silence would be the giveaway because you had it, and I was like, oh, can't see
I remember
anything.
Playing 1 and 2, but I don't remember there being a 3.
Yeah, there was a 3.
That's what threw me, because I'm like, there was no 3.
And it was good.
Apparently so.
Yeah, I liked it. All
right. Apparently so. Dadgummit.
All right, yours.
That's the reason why I couldn't get out of my head, because it was right.
Well, there you have it. Give me yours. What do you got here? What's your year? What's your make?
The year was 1984. This is on the NES and was recommended to us, or to me, by Big Mac Admin.
Mm. Oh, we like him.
Yeah.
Yeah. Or her. I don't know if it's her or him. I don't know.
Them. We like them.
We like them. They're good. They are good.
They're really delicious. Big Mac.
Very tasty. All right. Well, let's find out what this is. I'll hit the button here. NES, you say? Must be it that year.
It is on the NES. It was other places too, but this the audio is from the NES.
Okay. Oh my lord. Okay, first question. Is it a prominent series that I should know the name of?
No. It's just it's had a few out there, but not very many.
Okay. Yeah. Is it a platformer?
Let me see. No.
It's not a platformer, not like a side-scrolling deal?
No, there is some side-scrolling, but it's not really, that's not the intent of it. You know, it's not to be a side-scroller.
Okay, tell me about this bit here. Hold on, it's coming up. Is that just score screen?
No, that's actually text. That's you're reading some text there. It's got giving you a little bit of story.
Shit. Okay, my second question is. Oh, I don't know what to even ask. Is it based on any existing like film, movie, book, that kind of thing?
It Trying to see how to say this without going, I don't want to, and there is, how about, there is no movie or TV show or anything like that.
None of that. So no IP per se.
I wouldn't necessarily say it wouldn't no IP, but it's kind of like a sub IP of a larger body of work.
Oh, geez.
I don't know if that, I don't want to, like I said, I don't want to give it away too, because once I give you, if I tip this, you'll know it for sure.
Does it, I can't see them, but does anyone in the chat already have it? Can you tell if anyone's gotten it? I'm trying to gauge how easy it should be. They got it, really. Oh, geez.
Yes. One person has it.
I was hoping they were as stumped as me.
But there's a lot of other bad guesses.
All right, last one. Is it... Jeez. What is the ultimate... I don't know if you can even answer this. What is the ultimate goal of the game? Is there a princess to save, that kind of thing? Like, what? Can you tell me what the end game is?
I can tell you there is, there is no princess... The princess is another castle. It is a, once again, I gotta be careful how I say this. It is a split screen two player game.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Split. Hardly any of that existed back then. Oh. Do I have any questions left? I don't think I do.
I don't think you do.
Two players. No. I know this. Al Jaffe just died.
Yeah, there you go. Al Jaffe just died.
Yeah, he didn't make it.
No,
he wasn't, that wasn't the artist. His property. What's it called?
Spaghetti and meatballs.
The two little dudes who fight each other. The one's black, one's white. Why can't I? Oh, I had it. Hold on, I had it. Am I in the right? Well, you can't answer. Don't answer that.
Yeah, I get no more questions.
Spy versus spy.
Spy v spy. I couldn't say versus screens.
Oh,
spy v spy.
That's how you got me, is two player co-op or two players on screen.
Yeah,
at once.
That's why when you asked me about that, that's why I was like, ooh, it's going to be too givey.
Because nobody else
did
that.
And the property is kind of like, oh, yeah, but it didn't really. It's just kind of like a sub property. It's not like its own thing necessarily.
That's a forever ago. Oh my gosh.
Yeah.
I don't even know if they still
do. I've been going down that Al Jaffe. How old was he? Like 102 or something?
102,
crazy?
102 years old. All these mad guys, these mad artists from the 70s and 80s, all lived to be 100 or 89 or 90. They're old as dirt.
Goes to show you.
It's something. I don't know what it says.
It's clean living.
How long did Mort Drucker live? Hold on. He's my favorite. He died recently-ish, and he was...
Oh, man.
It doesn't say how old he was when he died, did it? Doesn't? Oh, it does. He was 91. I'm just saying, like, how do these guys pull this off?
Yeah, I don't know. Was it all the fold-ins? Is that the thing?
He just died in 2020. Lucky
God,
guy.
I used to love doing the fold-ins. You know, talking about the inside
were great.
Covers where you fold in?
Yeah, Mort Drucker was more like your go-to for big movie parodies and TV and stuff.
Right.
He was amazing. Still, you ask, I don't know, you know, everybody's got somebody who influenced them the most when they were, like, drawing when they were a kid.
Yeah.
Mort Drucker, times out of 10. He's my guy. Jack Davis a little bit, but mostly Mort Drucker, that guy.
Yeah. We both came up kind of looking at the same stuff, you know, getting the same feeding, the same food, and probably the reason why we couldn't get into Hetty. It's like, I can't do it.
Yeah, can't do the Hetty. What's this Hetty bullshit? Stupid game. We're going to get crap for that. Sorry, everybody. All right. It is time for a little listener feedback.
Welcome to the Treasure Room.
Let's take this text first here. Actually, it's our only one this week. This is 801-471-0462 is where this text was sent. And by the way, if you're going to do a Play Retro text, it's much easier for me to see them if you put like PR or Play Retro at the first part. Like, this is for PR, this is for Play Retro,
smart,
or whatever. Anyway, it says, I'm going to read this exactly the way it came to me, okay? This isn't me, I'm not, you know, making this up. This is what it says. This is from somebody named Cornpipe.
Cornpipe. I love that. That's like, It's mighty brave to make a corn pipe your personality. Yeah, I think that's brilliant.
Corn pipe is a real vibe. He says, any love for the Jag? I love that thing. Maybe one episode on all things Atari Jag, says Cornpipe.
Oh, so not the series Jag. He's talking about the Atari Jaguar. Oh, he loves it so much he's abbreviated it. Oh, I love that.
I know. And he used any twice and spelled Gunna Guna.
I'm down with this. I like your enthusiasm, Cornpipe.
Yeah, Cornpipe is our friend. So you know what? We really ought to do this. We should take a whole episode and go Jaguar hard and dig deep on that thing. And, you know, the best games for it, why it failed, where things were at with Atari at the time, what stakes were out there, that stupid toilet CD add-on they made. Like, there's so much to say about that device, you know, and chat room brings up CDI and others. Yeah, some of these consoles where the games aren't the focus so much on the history of them, we should give them their own little spotlight, I think.
I'm curious. I'm trying to look now. And one of the reasons that this is a hold up for me for some of these things that we want to do, like we've talked about doing an Atari Jag episode, but I would really like to have an opportunity to have one in my hands. And I really haven't looked deep into what the prices are, but I'm guessing, you know, I don't need anything, you know, in a box or anything. I just need to find something that's going to, you know, it's just going to allow me to experience the controller in my hand.
You can probably find some used crap shit
experience
controller.
Experience the
gank. Let's see if that's on eBay. Let's just look. eBay.com.
That's what I'm doing now. I'm looking for some stuff. Like I said,
Jaguar.
As long as I can get it to work, that's all I really care about. I ain't cared about the condition of it or anything. As long as I can put this bad boy in my hand, understand.
$49.
Is that a full one, or is that
says
just a
brand new sealed Atari Jaguar video game controller, system controller?
Controller.
Not the whole Jag. Let's see. Atari Jaguar.
It's Jag in part.
I just want console. Let's see how it does. Yeah.
But, you know, that might not be a bad experience either if I can find, like, if I can get the controller, and it looks like it's a 9-pin adapter. I should be able to adapt that onto my PC or something. That might be a good half measure.
These are expensive.
So that's relatable.
I figured they would be. Between $399 for the banged up stuff to $750 for a decent one. None of them are unopened.
But these controllers aren't too bad. I might be able to make that work. Like if I can get a 9-pin to USB kind of an adapter to experience it. Because as long as I got the controller in my hand, I probably can put that on maybe.
Oh my gosh. Atari Jaguar game console, Japan version, which is very rare.
Yes.
$5,000, Brian, is all it'll cost you. Yeah.
I'm in.
What a deal. yeah, wild. That's pretty wild.
There are Mr. FPGA Atari Jaguar cores, apparently. So let's just see if that looks like that is promising. And if I can find a snacks adapter.
You just need an adapter, yeah. You got it.
Then I could get right in there, because I think this thing comes with a 9-pin, if I'm not mistaken.
Well.
But yeah. I'm down with doing an Atari, even if I can't get one, but I would prefer if I had one, like I said, in hand so that I could get a feel for it.
I agree.
Because I played some of the games, and
yeah, they're not great. You know, someone in the chat
the
even
ones
said
I played
it.
Weren't
said,
great,
what do you say? Who is this? Hold on, I'm going to find it. It's can't find it now. Somebody said something funny. Basically, oh, here it is. Alien versus Predator and Tempest. There, you're done.
There you go.
Skits 319. Yeah, that's a pretty good point. Those are the two best games on there.
Oh, here we go. There is, I did find a Jaguar cable for the Mr. FPGA, so that this is totally doable.
Done deal.
Yeah, put me out about $60 or so between the cable and the controller, but yeah, it's totally doable.
It's not too bad.
Yeah.
All right, well, we'll see where we end up, guys. Thanks for the recommendation. Also, if you'd like to send in your own little message via text, you can do it. 801-471-0462. Our next discussion will be Populous.
Oh, we're going to go to we're doing the PC version, I'm hoping?
Let's do PC or that era, something, Amiga, whatever, I don't care.
Oh, yeah, the Amiga had the two, didn't it?
Yeah, they had it. But this Bullfrog, old Bullfrog game that I loved, it's really the grandpappy of all like city builders, city management games, that kind of stuff. It was old school.
The first God mode game, right? Like that, or just something like that.
Or God games, yeah. Correctly. God games as a genre, really, this is the first primordial fart of that whole genre. And we're going to talk about it. Originally released and sold on the Amiga in 1989. And is pretty rad. 4 million copies sold. We're going to talk about it. Populous.
Wow, 4 million copies in 1989.
That's a lot.
That's like everybody who would be playing video games.
No, that's a lot. In today's numbers, that's somebody selling 60 million copies of a game.
Yeah, that's crazy.
Really crazy. Anyway, that is going to happen. Yeah, Chad, we talked about Jaguar in the cart episode, but we didn't review the whole device. We just talked about it.
Yeah, we played a couple of cart games in the that episode.
But yeah.
Yeah. And those weren't great. But no. Once again.
Yeah, but what are you going to do? Anyway, that'll be next week. Populous, get ready, everybody. Put on your PC hats. We are going to town on Populous.
Your PC hats are going to town.
That's right. Real quick.
I got to get my PC. I don't know what I did with it. Where's my PC hat?
Yeah, where's your PC hat? Go find your damn PC hat while I tell you about our awesome Patreon, patreon.com/playretro. If you are a fan of this show, it is the best and only place we really have for our fans to go and ping us with some a little bit of cash. It makes it so you never have to do ads or money. You never have to do ads or commercials. You never have to do any pre-show. Or no, you get pre-show content every week. You do have to do that.
And it was good this week, too. Boy, we had some good pre-show.
We had a great pre-show today. You're going to want to check that out. Monthly benefits you only get by being a member. So sign up today like Toin did some months ago.
Oh, yeah. Tony.
Yep. Giving him is it not Toin? It looks like Toin.
No, it is not Toin. I believe it's Tony, I believe.
Well, you
could be right, but I don't think so.
T-O-I-N-E. T-O-I-N-E is the name. Those two words right back to each other. Toin.
Toin.
Well, Tony/Toin, we want people to be like you. Thank you for being a supporter. And if you want to be like him, it's not hard. Get in there now. Patreon.com/playretro. For everything else, go to frogpants.com/playretro. Thank you all for being here and hanging out. Go play something retro, okay? Do it today. Go plug it in, fire it up, give it your best, and we'll see you next time.
It's-a-me, a Rystar.
It's-a-me!
If you like what you just heard, there's a very good chance you will like all the shows on the Frog Pants Network. Get more at frogpants.com.
I don't know what that means, but I don't like it either.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. quince.com/style.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house, with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.
Acast powers the world's best podcasts. Here's a show that we recommend.
Welcome back to Two Judgy Girls. I'm Mary from the Bay.
And I'm Courtney from LA. TJG is the podcast where we spill all the tea on your favorite reality TV shows, celebrity gossip, and everything in between. We're here to bring you our unfiltered opinions, hilarious commentary, and plenty of laughs along the way.
We're two SDSU Delta Gamma sisters with a microphone and a whole lot of opinions. Each week, we dive headfirst into the wild world of reality television, from Bravo to all the trash TV you could want. We break down the drama, dissect the latest scandals, and share our thoughts on everything from the jaw-dropping moments to the embarrassing antics.
But that's not all. We're not here to just gossip. We're here to connect with you, the jurors, and share our love of all things pop culture. Whether we're dishing on the latest celebrity breakups, discussing our favorite guilty pleasure movies, or sharing embarrassing stories from our own lives, we promise to keep it real, keep it fun, and keep you coming back for more. Come judge with us.
Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.